This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes, Jack McKenna speaking. It's Monday, November 6th, 1950. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Harriet Farrig has the community news. And Colonel Raffley is in with a new civil defense system. Defense from him? I wonder. We've got some great music from 1950, and Harriet has a surprise, Louis.
I love Harriet's surprises.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. She's making taffy.
So much for the surprise, but it sounds like fun.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Ford Hopkins Drugstore, where they have Nulo Chlorophyll, an amazing new pill that stops all body odors and bad breath, too. I know what to get the Colonel for Christmas. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The UN has been notified that the Chinese Reds are fighting the Allies in Korea. We begin our shortwave world report from Seoul.
This is Mac Johnson in Seoul. General Douglas MacArthur notified the United Nations Security Council today that Chinese Reds are fighting in Korea. The special report transmitted at Lake Success by the chief U.S. delegate Warren Austin said, quote, "The United States forces are meeting a new foe. The United Nations are in hostile contact with Chinese communist military units," unquote. The report gave a detailed account of specific Chinese Red units which have been identified. In an extraordinary communique issued only a few hours earlier, General MacArthur referred only to alien communist forces and branded their intervention in Korea as, quote, "one of the most offensive acts of international lawlessness in history," end quote. The UN commander's communique said a great concentration of communist divisions is massed in Manchuria. He calls this threat a matter of the gravest international significance. Sources close to him spoke even more ominously. They say the start of a third world war may hinge on Red China's reaction to MacArthur's accusation. World capitals view the tense situation with mounting concern. 53 non-communist nations are sponsors of the UN's first armed peace enforcement action waged against North Koreans who invaded the Republic June 25th. Theoretically, Red Korea has fought alone. Actually, her troops were armed with vast amounts of Russian weapons. Russian-made planes have fought Allied air power. Their appearance last week drove back the plunging rush of Allied forces toward the Manchurian border. The gravest communist threat is developing in northwest Korea, just north of Anju, where a bridge is the only supply line across the Chongcheng River. American, British, Commonwealth, and South Korean forces are holding the bridgehead 6 miles north of Anju. An 8th Army spokesman says a full Red Division has moved into the area. In Seoul, this is your reporter, Mac Johnson, coming Japan.
This is Japan, Daryl Berrigan in Tokyo. General MacArthur warned today that it will be a matter of the gravest international significance if Reds from Manchuria reinforce communist forces fighting the Allies in Korea. The UN commander said in a special communique that the communists have moved without any notice of belligerency elements of alien communist forces across the Yalu River into North Korea. Fresh communist troops came down from Manchuria after UN forces brought the Korean War to a practical end in mid-October. Quote, "a possible trap was thereby surreptitiously laid, calculated to encompass the destruction of United Nations forces engaged in restoring order and the processes of civil government in the North Korean border area. This potential danger was avoided with minimum losses only by the timely detection and skillful maneuvering of the UN field commander in northwestern Korea," end quote. Although parts of 2 American regiments were trapped for a time and a South Korean division was cut to pieces, MacArthur says a great military reverse was averted. Quote, "to what extent reserves will be moved forward to reinforce units now committed remains to be seen and is a matter of gravest international significance," end quote. Sources close to MacArthur say this means he wants UN permission to bomb troop concentrations, supply areas, and air bases in Manchuria. This would hit the Reds at the source before they could build up a dangerous threat to the UN. UN. Sources close to MacArthur estimated about 300,000 elite trained troops, veterans of the Chinese Civil War, are deployed along the Yalu. Their commander is General Lin Piao, famed Manchurian hammer of the Chinese Civil War and one of the most successful Red China's field commanders. In Tokyo, this is Daryl Berrigan.
This is Stan Turner in Lake Success, New York. The United States today called for a special Security Council meeting Wednesday to consider the intervention of Red China in the Korean War. The meeting was requested here at the temporary home of the United Nations shortly after General MacArthur reported to the Council that Chinese communist troops crossed into Korea and are fighting UN troops. U.S. Delegate Ernest Gross says the delay in the Council meeting gives delegates a chance for private consultation on the situation. He declined to say what sort of action the United States would propose, but did confirm that specific proposals are under discussion. Meanwhile, President Truman had a long telephone conference today with Secretary of State Dean Acheson on the worsening situation in Korea. Associates, unquotable by name, say Mr. Truman is deeply concerned over the movement of Chinese communist troops into North Korea from Manchuria. At Lake Success, this is Stan Turner.
Nowick McKenzie here in the Big Apple. What with all the debate about how to handle the warring Chinese communists, it isn't surprising that Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek's nationalist forces cooped up on Formosa are wondering how they fit into the picture, if at all. Chiang has 500,000 fighting men with him on the island, waiting for the day when fortune will give them a chance to invade the mainland, and with the guerrilla forces there, retake the country from the Reds. The way things stand, the GMO has given his word to America not to attack the mainland, and as a quid pro quo, the U.S. 7th Fleet is preventing the Chinese communists from invading Formosa. The nationalist premier says there are 1.6 million guerrillas on the mainland prepared to join the nationalists in conquering the Reds. Bolshevist leader General Mao Zedong set the number of guerrillas at 400,000 last July and reduced that estimate to 200,000 since. Actually, Chiang Kai-shek hasn't enough fleet for a large invasion, even if he were free to make the attempt. He also lacks sufficient military supplies of all categories for such an adventure. In New York, this is DeWitt McKenzie.
Uncle Sam's next budget is taking shape. Government experts are drafting the federal budget, which would start in July 1951. John Q. taxpayer will be hit harder, since the federal budget will total almost $65 billion. Of that, $2 billion will go for foreign aid, $3 billion for veterans' benefits, $11 billion for non-military functions, and $42 billion to the military. KUWS News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from Ford Hopkins Drugstore.
$42 billion. That's a lot of bullets.
You can't fight with lollipops.
Or taffy. Ah, me. From Ford Hopkins Rexall Drugs, folks. Potted Swiss steak served 11 to 7:30. All for just 59 cents. Well, what's all? Rich vegetable gravy? Fluffy whipped potatoes, crisp salad, homemade Cleveland roll and butter. That's it, folks. All good. All for 59 cents. Can you believe that? Peps in the toothpaste when you get through eating. That's 59 cents only. How about this? Wash out your mouth with Listerine antiseptic. Well, that was better than the soap I used to get when I was a kid. 69 cents for 14 ounces. One great deal after another, folks. Midget spin curlers. I've been waiting for those. New Tony exclusive, $1.33 for a package. There's so many great bargains here at Ford Hopkins Rexall Drugs.
Campaigning took on a heated atmosphere over the weekend and today as candidates threw in their last licks to gain votes in the general election tomorrow. The nation's voters tomorrow will choose 36 U.S. senators, 432 U.S. representatives, and 32 state governors. Pitted against each other for the U.S. Senate are incumbent Republican Alexander Wiley, his Democrat opponent Thomas Fairchild, Socialist Edward W. Nepi, and Independents James Bolton, Artemio Cozzini, and Perry Stearns. In the fight for the governor's chair, campaigning of the most arousing type has been carried on by Republican Walter J. Kohler, Jr. and Democrat Carl W. Thompson. The weatherman paints a rather dismal picture for voters. He predicts cloudy skies with snow flurries in the air. It'll be colder tonight, with the temperature expected to hit 25. A high of 42 is forecast for tomorrow.
Hey. I'm supposed to do the weather around here.
Sorry. Right. There was a dramatic rescue by a mother of her own children yesterday in Superior. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Lou. A mother is credited with saving her three preschool-aged children by rushing them out the front door after an oil stove explosion ignited and quickly spread the flames to the room where the mother was dressing her children. The blaze, which caused a total of $3,800 damage, occurred at the home of Mrs. John McDonald, 1716 Cumming Avenue, about 8:30 this morning. Mrs. McDonald told firemen she heard an explosion and then noticed flames rushing into the adjoining front room where she and her children were. She immediately took the children out the front door. Firemen say by the time the fire truck reached the scene, both rooms had considerable damage by the fire. They believe a vapor had built up in the stove and exploded, Lou.
That's the news, Jack.
Now what should I do? You already gave the forecast.
I said I was sorry. It was part of the news.
Lou Martin, the hoggiest newsman around. There was one part of the forecast he missed, though, folks. So from the United States Weather Bureau, for this Monday evening, November 6th, 1950, we'll have a westerly wind. It's music time. Here's a favorite from Joe Stafford and Shrimp Boats Am Coming on the Martin and McKenna Taffy Pole Show.
Once more they ride high out to sea.
Joe Stafford and Shrimp Boats. I wonder if they call them shrimp boats because they're little. Oh, well, on station KUWS, folks, of course. There'll be an Armistice Day dance at the Oakland Town Hall Saturday night, November 11th. Proceeds from the dance will go to the local hot lunch program. Music provided by Frank Cox. He looks like Satchmo, and he can blow the trumpet like him, too. He's great. I can smell Harriet Staffy cooking. She's in next with the community news. Now let's hear Pee Wee King and Slowpoke on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Keep me waiting till it's getting aggravating. You're the slowpoke. I wait and worry, but you never seem to hurry. You're the slowpoke. Time means nothing to you. I wait and then late again. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9:45. Why should I linger every time you snap your finger, little slowpoke? Why can't you hasten when you see that time's a-wasting? You're a slowpoke, dear. Why should I keep trying to change you? It's not the thing to do. I guess I'll have to learn to be a slowpoke, too. You never seem to hurry, you're a slowpoke. I means nothing to you, I wait and then late again. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9:45. Why should I linger every time you snap your finger, little slowpoke? Why can't you hasten when you see that time's a-wasting? You're a slowpoke, dear. Why should I keep trying to change you? It's not the thing to do. I guess I'll have to learn to be a slowpoke, too.
Pee-wee King and Slowpoke on station KUWS. Harriet, hi. How's the taffy coming along?
I've mixed the dark molasses in with the sugar and vinegar. All I've got to do is add a touch of baking soda while it cools. But I need someone big and strong to stir it while I'm doing my community news. Here's the big spoon, Jack.
You don't sound too good, Harriet. What's the problem?
Just a touch of a cold.
Oh, well, we can work with that. What's this?
Well, that's your apron. It's a good idea to wear one, especially for you. Wear it high, from the chest down.
I don't know. Men don't wear aprons where I come from, at least not in public.
Oh, Jack, really? That taffy is very sticky.
Okay. Let me see. I'll tie it here. Hey, this apron has hearts on it.
Very manly, Jack. Very manly.
Well, I do look kind of cute. In a manly way,
oh,
of course.
Oh, go stir. Stir hard and vigorous. Mr. and Mrs. Elmer Isaacson of Duluth have announced the approaching marriage of their daughter, Beverly Joanne, to Alan Tapale of Iron River. The blessed day will be December 16th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Cornucopia. On Friday, the Women's Assembly of Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church will have a rummage sale in the church basement. This year, they'll have new features, including a gift shop, a current book section, and a bake sale. Mrs. Frank Nelson says the luncheon and sale is open to the public. The Dorcas Circle of Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Superior will have its annual sale November 17th. Mrs. Agnes Johnson and Thelma Nelson are the co-chairmen. There will be homemade novelties suitable for Christmas gifts. There will also be imported Swedish and Norwegian articles and Christmas decorations. Baked goods, canned goods, and homemade candy will be on sale. And, oh, this is so exciting, veterans' gifts have been donated by the Richard Bong Auxiliary of the American Legion and will be on display in the front window of the Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. Mrs. Joseph Christman says donations to the Christmas gift shop will go to hospitalized veterans. Oh, dear, Jack isn't back yet. He's so focused on that taffy. Jack!
Jack's coming. Now Jack's back, folks. Jeez, had a run. I stirred the dickens out of it. I did good, boy.
I see you needed the apron after all.
Vigorous stirring doesn't come without a price. Here's a new one by Eddie Fisher. And any time on the Martin and McKenna Taffy Pool Show.
Any time you're feeling lonely. Any time you're feeling blue. Any time.
Fisher and anytime on station KUWS.
Let me introduce Colonel Joseph Raffaele, prominent American Legion member and Republican, and an important announcement that everyone should heed.
Men, listen up. Colonel Raffaele here with an announcement of utmost importance to the future of our country and your family. President Truman wants local governments to come up with a plan in case the godless commies launch a surprise invasion of our great nation. Now, even though he's a Democrat, the president is right. We have to prepare.
And I understand Superior and Douglas County are doing that.
The good people in Ashland are getting together to figure out what to do if the Ruskies launch what many of us consider an inevitable bombing using atomic weapons against the United States of America. God bless her.
Why are you leading the effort and not the city or county government?
Because real men act. and politicians are too busy running for office. And the president's got it right when he says proper civil defense should get down to each and every individual. You need a plan, people. A shelter. A place to go. Food. Water. In storage. The Civil Defense Administration says an advanced warning of just a few minutes can cut down on the number of people killed, maimed, or otherwise brutalized by upwards of 50%. The Krauts had what they call total war. Well, people, what we're going to have is what the Swedes call total defense. They even have a word for it. Let me see. Let me see if I got it here. Somewhere. There it is. Total Fusvar. That's right. I pronounced it correctly.
Since the Civil Defense Administration was just created this fall, then I can imagine this is new.
Well, the Office of Civil Defense started in 1941, when we knew the Japs and the Krauts would be knocking at our door someday. But this is the atomic bomb. And there's talk of an H-bomb, too. I forgot what the H stands for. Hell or heck or hell in a handbasket. I think it puts a whole new dimension on things. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got our hands on what's called a blue book, just issued by the feds.
Blue book? As in code blue?
No, it's a blue book. The cover's solid blue, McCorkle. And why in the Sam Hill are you wearing an apron?
What's wrong with it? I think it looks rather smart on me.
An apron won't help you there, boy.
He's helping Harriet. They're making taffy.
That's the problem with this country. Too busy making taffy and not busy enough getting ready to get bombed. We need public bomb shelters. We need siren alert systems. And Lord help us, we'll even need radio stations like this one to get the word out if and when Uncle Joe Stalin sends his bombers over. Now, President Truman has the Conrad plan. First, I thought it was named after all of us colonels, but it's short for Control of Electromagnetic Radiation. That's where you two come in, heaven help us.
I told you we were important.
All right, first, radio stations would broadcast an alert that the bombs are coming. That would come from a special government hookup. Then, all radio stations would go off the air, except for two designated lower-powered frequencies at 640 and 1240 kilohertz. They'd be low-powered so the commies can't use radio signals to navigate their planes. Get the idea? Then, they, meaning radio stations, broadcast radiation levels to let people know it's okay to come out of their shelters. We, at the American Legion and Moose and Elk Clubs, are starting this public awareness campaign today. That's why I'm here, men. And McCorkle. And you know, that apron has hearts on it.
The one with the guns on it didn't fit. Say, Colonel, stick around. We're going to have a taffy pull right after Red Foley and Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy on the Martin and McKenna Show.
You know, I haven't pulled taffy since Taft was in the White House. Back then, we called it a tafty pull. Get it?
Have you ever passed the corner of 4th and Grand, where a little ball of rhythm has a shoeshine stand? People gather round and they clap their hands. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. He charges you a nickel just to shine one shoe. He makes the oldest kind of leather look like new. You feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. You ought to see him fan the air with his hoppity-hibbity-hibbity-hoppity-hoppity-hibbity-hop. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. Listen, let him go. Don't that tickle you? Thank you.
It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air. Here goes. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy. The Chattanooga shoeshine boy.
Chattanooga shoeshine boy on KUWS.
All right, boys. Now I see Colonel Raffley is here. Welcome, Colonel.
Ma'am.
And as long as you're here, you better grab an apron. We're going to have a good old-fashioned taffy pull.
The Colonel doesn't wear aprons.
Ah, come on, Colonel. It'll be a blast.
Not the kind of blast that he was talking about, I hope.
Well, I see, I'm already late for a commie blacklist meeting.
Oh, nonsense, Colonel. Here's your apron. Now hold out your hand.
That's fancy.
What on God's green earth?
It's butter, Colonel. You need well-buttered hands to have a good taffy pull. You two boys, Jack.
Gives a whole new meaning to Butterfingers.
And Lewis.
How come McMartin doesn't have to wear an apron? If I have to wear one, he should wear one, too.
I don't spill.
That's it, folks. Stay tuned for You Bet Your Life, Mr. District Attorney and Perry Mason. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and the Russians would rather pull taffy.
Fat chance of that happening.
For Lou Martin and the gang, this is Jack McKenna wishing you, one and all, a good night.
Now, everyone, pull!
Hey, I'm slipping.
Those are my good shoes.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Tom Martinson, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.